Welcome to the DNVGL Talks Energy podcast series. Electrification, rise of renewables and new technologies, supported by more data and IT systems, are transforming the power system. Join us each week as we discuss these changes with guests from around the industry.
Welcome to a new episode of DNVGL Talks Energy, here from the Global Smart Energy Summit in Dubai. My guest today is Brian Williams, industry advisor from SAP. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for making time for this. What we want to talk today about is SAP's perspective on the impact of energy transition and digitalization on utilities. But before we get into this, it would be great if you can tell us a little bit more about yourself and your role in SAP.
Sure. Yeah. So my accent, you'll tell, is a bit of a mixed bag. Originally from South Africa, became an American, and now live in Dubai. My role at SAP is to cover the EMEA South region, which is Southern Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and I focus on the energy, natural resources, and utilities vertical industries as our customers embark on their digital transformation journeys.
Right. So we talked a bit earlier, and you mentioned SAP's clients are, among others, big utilities. And they are challenged now by what I mentioned at the beginning, the energy transition, but also digitalization. So what do you think, what can you bring for these utilities to the table in that challenging times?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a continuum, if you will. Energy transition means different things to different people. For our European customers, it's driven by regulatory shifts that follow the public sentiment. In the Middle East, we're just beginning that journey with some regulatory changes, but you know, here it'll look very different as we go through that that journey. And then in Africa, I would say the challenge there, in my opinion, mostly is outdated regulation. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think if you compare the different regions in which we're operating, there are distinct drivers to how we need to respond to those customer environments, if you will. So our message for Europe, as you can imagine, is going to be based on technology-driven, high-speed processing of meeting demand versus supply and the inclusion of renewables. In the Middle East, the journey is the beginning of renewables into the mix, but still very much focused on customer service, customer happiness, as we call it in Dubai. And then in Africa, it is, it's getting electricity to people sometimes for the first time ever. You know, so we have a very dynamic region here in EMEA South, mm-hmm. Where SAP is bringing its solutions to the bear.
Right. You mentioned a few technologies already. What I would like to discuss a little bit with you is we have, of course, tremendous uptake of renewables happening right now and going forward over the next couple of decades. We see storage happening, and then we see a relatively fast uptake of electric vehicles,
right,
which is all kind of news to grids, which were never really designed for.
Correct.
This.
Correct.
So I would like to have your perspective on these matters.
Yeah, it's a tremendously fast-moving story for all participants. I think the one that strikes me is the equivalent investment now in roughly equivalent. But if we compare the Australian story right now, where storage is comparable to fast start turbines. That changes the game. Now, it'll be a while before that's comparable to fast start turbines in the Middle East, but I think that clearly establishes the trend. Likewise with renewable power, from PV or wind, especially PV. I think PV is the game changer. And we'll see that outcompete fossil even in the Middle East, mm-hmm. and sooner than people think. And then likewise, the challenge that EV poses to grids will happen, I think, faster than most folks are anticipating. Even in Dubai, the objective is something like 20,000 vehicles by 2020. And that will already have a noticeable impact on the network. Mm. You know, each electric vehicle, depending on its consumption, is the equivalent of another household or more. And I think the real change there will be, at least coming back to EV, will be on fleets. You know, so I think while there's a really interesting story around you and I driving our private cars, the game-changing story for industry will be delivery vehicles and commercial vehicles. So from an SAP perspective, I don't think you'll see us very strongly in the automotive space in the EV market yet, but I think you will start seeing how we help our commercial customers and utilities optimize fleet vehicles. So that would be the picture there.
That's an interesting thought. You just mentioned you and me driving our own cars. One could predict that even that is going away, that we come to a more like shared economy model.
Yes.
And then, of course, the fleet thought again is quite interesting. Are you working on some areas like this as well?
We do, yes. We in the European Union, we are specifically in Germany, we're participating in EV fleet trials. So, for example, Deutsche Post and others are trialing EV fleets. And the challenge there, as you can imagine, is if you're Deutsche Post, you need to optimize your energy consumption across your fixed holdings and your vehicle fleet. And so how do you mitigate peak demand costs and the like? So it becomes a matter of being very smart about when you charge your vehicles and where you charge your vehicles. And then from a network balancing perspective, we have the same issue for our utility providers, right? So, you know, if you had a depot and everybody is charging their fleet vehicle overnight, that would be potentially a stressful event for that local grid. One of the big drivers for smart technologies is very simple. It comes down to cost. Our utility customers would rather spend money on technology than on copper. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that you can avoid the large capital investments in building out the grid, all these other methods of anticipating demand and reacting to demand in a smart way mm-hmm. is where we see our role.
Yeah, that leads us over to another question I had in mind. Demand, customers, moving more and more into the center somehow, getting more powerful, and companies need to react to this. So what is this whole journey bringing us on customer satisfaction and also revenues for companies around customers?
Good question. At the leading edge of that conversation, it's not good news, potentially, because I think the disintermediation of the utility for the prosumer is a real possibility in some markets. If you have the regulatory sophistication to allow for that, there's no reason why blockchain technologies won't be the brokering engine, if you will, between willing participants in their own energy trades. Now, I don't think that'll be universally true, because I think the bulk of us, meaning us, you and I, live perhaps in apartments or in other types of housing that would make it hard for us to put up our own solar panels or frankly even care that much about being that engaged in these types of peer-to-peer markets. So I think for many of us, customer satisfaction then becomes key. So what do we value most? We value reliability and cost. Yeah. And I don't think those core fundamentals will change. And I am a little concerned that some of our utility customers from an SAP perspective are perhaps going a little bit too far in terms of home and behind the meter services. Now, that makes some sense in those cases where it is a natural extension of the brand, for example, home heating, home comfort. But in some other areas, home automation may be a bridge too far, or home entertainment. You know, the danger there is you may begin to dilute the core essential value of your brand, which is always going to be reliability and cost. That's just an observation that I make as I look across our market space. Customer satisfaction is going to be those essential two items.
Right. You mentioned already two main anchors of the energy trilemma just now. It's reliability and affordability.
Yes.
So we add sustainability, but in these days, linking back also what you just mentioned about possibilities with blockchain, we get security.
Yes.
As well. So a lot more connection also means some risk in that area.
Right.
Again, what would be your perspective on that matter?
Well, I'll talk about sustainability just for a minute. I think the path towards sustainability is firmly entrenched now. We'll still see fossil, of course, endure for a while because of its legacy position. But even in the Middle East, I'm seeing folks really looking carefully at where they make their next capital project investment for generation. And so we will see even here a move to renewables, and done for cost basis, you know, but done on a cost argument, not on an environmental argument, and that's really the point. So environmentally friendly generation is going to stay because it will be the most viable choice. In terms of security, that's a challenging one because the essential nature of blockchains and information technology in general is that it runs on a server somewhere, and where is that exactly? So you know, I share a recent experience with some home automation, and only after I set it up did I realize that the servers were sitting in China, and that poses certain questions, right? So here I am living in Dubai, using European bought appliances that have a smart service that I can access from my smartphone. That is delivered through a server sitting in China. You know, that does make one think. So you know, you could argue that integrity of message could be queried along the line by other parties. And so I think we do need to address privacy concerns in the digital arena and take them quite seriously, because they will, unbeknownst to us, share to other actors, whether we're home or not, what our consumption patterns are, and other privacy concerns. So you're right to be concerned.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think again, talking about you and me, I think we have become very used to our data being kind of shared. There are so many social sharing pages and so on and so forth. And there certainly we have less concern, but definitely see, independent of countries, every country is very particular about taking the really important information in country.
Agreed.
And so it's all in the cloud, but then it's not.
Right. Well, the cloud is somewhere, right?
Yes. So maybe a little bit on blockchain.
Sure.
I mean, we talked a bit about security now, but I mean, blockchain, the principle is obviously that it's not only one computer. And we hear it a lot at the moment, and our own company is doing stuff around this. I would be interested, number one, either, although you told me already, asking a technology company what they are doing. It's not a smart move, but still try.
Right.
If you do something with blockchain, and what you see as the biggest opportunity for blockchain in the energy sector.
Yeah, I mean, it is an active area of research, shall I put it like that. So, you know, we are ultimately looking at ways to monetize how the blockchain is going to serve practical use cases. So, you know, for example, we've mentioned some of the consumer use cases that have the blockchain as an intermediary for settlements. So we've prototyped those, and we've got some use case videos that are on our website that you can view. But I think there are other potentially more valuable scenarios that take the blockchain into the realm of the practical, you know, into the operational, not just on the consumer side, but in the way, for example, that we do government exchanges around safety, work clearances, you know, job site inspections. That to me is a potentially more interesting and useful approach, because at the moment, the jurisdiction of those documents, the control of those documents, between many parties is something that in some jurisdictions leaves a bit to be desired. You know, so once you've had the sign off, for example, that your installation is safe to use, is it really? Or rather, could somebody then alter it later on and
right.
and undermine a prior approval. So I think that's where I've become quite interested in how we can apply blockchain. And you know, I mentioned, for example, safety scenarios. You know, things like work management, worker safety, and the certification requirements for gaining that line of sight to approval processes between many counterparties. You can imagine a building owner, an operator, a utility. So I think that's where there are other use cases that will begin to become, I believe, more practical for the typical SAP customer as opposed to the end consumer.
Yes, I mean, actually in DNVGL we have just moved our certificates in a large scale into the blockchain.
Exactly.
Which is a good use case.
Exactly, yes. Yep. Exactly, so that's another perfect one. So certification of coded welds, that would be an example, but also then on the human side of training and also of annual certification and medical records.
Yep. Okay, we are coming slowly to an end already of this episode, unfortunately. And the last question, I think I'd like to focus a bit on the Global Smart Energy Summit here in Dubai. What do you think is the most important, maybe message we get from here, or we should get from here, looking at the development of that particular part of the world?
Of the Middle East, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a region in transition. Inclusion of renewables, either through proactive market forces or because they become economically competitive, is definitely upon us. Dubai is leading the way. We have a mandate now as well around electric vehicles here. Abu Dhabi has done some large procurements of renewables. So, those are very key trends that certainly the UAE is leading the way. Saudi has made some large announcements for their renewable program, that all bears well for the future. Other than that, I think the challenge that I see is now how do we balance the loads? Mm-hmm. Once you look at the particular load profile of the Middle East, you start seeing some parameters that are quite unique to this region. We have this huge seasonal fluctuation. Our intraday looks very different from Europe. And then you try and think how you're going to meet that to renewables. And, by the way, will renewables be mandated to be first dispatched like it is in Europe? Or will renewables be dispatchable? Mm. So these are the types of questions that we hope we can be a part of their solution by looking at ways to, be a hub for energy transactions. Actually, not even energy transactions, but operationally. So, for example, if we could help a utility have a 7-day ahead view on its operational performance, that would provide the rest of the market some sense of confidence in what they need to do to buy ahead. In terms of planning other dispatchable power to compensate.
Thank you very much, Brian. Unfortunately, we came to the end already, but
sure.
And to the audience, thank you for listening in. That was Brian Williams, industry advisor from SAP.
Thank you for listening to this DNVGL Talks Energy podcast. To hear more podcasts in the series, please visit dnvgl.com/talksenergy.